Welcome to the Locked On Red Sox.
You are Locked On Red Sox, your daily Boston Red Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, I'm Jason Masterton out of the Boston Herald. And today's episode, I was hoping to do something a little bit different. It is the very, very early portions of the MLB offseason. Really, not even the MLB offseason, because the World Series is obviously still going on. But for the Red Sox purposes, the offseason has begun. And usually this time of year, what I do as a writer and reporter is kind of just sit down and spend a lot of time on my computer going through the entire roster, kind of analyzing what the Red Sox have to do, looking at the free agents, looking at what they've done in the past, looking at the stats and the numbers, you know, typical thing a baseball nerd would do like myself. So I thought, why not do it while I record at least a quick version, and I could split it into two episodes. So today I just wanted to kind of look at the offensive players on the roster and what they have right now and who's a free agent, who's still going to be here, and just take kind of a quick 20-minute look at it. Tomorrow I figure I'll do the pitchers and do the same thing. So, you know, I do this on my own. I think about it. I figured you can listen in with me, and if you want to complain about my thoughts, totally understand. Send me an email or find me on Twitter at jmastrodonato. Always happy to hear what you guys have to say. So today's episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. You can check that out. Download the Green Room app today. All right, so it's hard to look at the Red Sox roster right now and not start with Xander Bogaerts and Rafael Devers. Both of them are obviously under contract again for 2022, but it's a big year coming up because Xander Bogaerts can opt out after 2022 and Rafael Devers is a free agent after 2023. So sometimes, like they did with Andrew Benintendi, you will see teams lock up players long term in the second year of arbitration, which Devers is entering next year. You know, usually the second year, they're probably going to get close to the salary they'd get in year three, and you could save some money as a team if you lock them up long term over maybe a 4 or 5 year deal. And you know, take some of the risk away from the player. The advantage for the player is, hey, if I get hurt, I still get paid. It doesn't matter. So sometimes players are incentivized to sign a multi-year deal in the second year of arbitration. So the Red Sox have to look at Rafael Devers and say, okay, is he going to be here long-term? Is he part of our future? Of course, you know, unless there's something glaring that they're concerned about with him. And, you know, I know people have said, well, his weight. Yeah, I know, but you know what? Not every heavy player is not worth investing in. You know, I did a big story, and you can Google it. I think it was called Heavy Hitters Weigh In, if you want to Google it. It was kind of one of my favorite stories I wrote like 5 years ago when Pablo Sandoval was here, about how some players are better when they're heavier, and when they lose weight, they're worse. And it's not even like Devers is that big. I mean, he's listed at 6 foot 240. You know, bigger for a third baseman, but there are some big third basemen who had a long career. So I'm thinking about, I think Scott Rolen might have been close to that. You know, some other guys. Yeah, Scott Rolen finished at 6'4", 245 and played till he was 37 and was an all-star at 36. So I don't think that's a huge concern. The elbow injury at the end of this year, he played through it. They don't think he's going to need surgery. So really, it's hard to make an argument against signing Rafael Devers long-term. The question is whether or not he wants to be here and how much it's going to take. So that's going to be a big thing that the Red Sox have to look at. Xander Bogaerts, there's really nothing they can do about it. He signed this deal, team-friendly deal, for $20 million a year because he can opt out after 2022. So, you know, I know it's obvious that he should opt out after 2022 unless he has a terrible year in 2022 and try to get a new contract. He also has some leverage if he wants to negotiate a new contract with the Red Sox to make more money. The problem, of course, is there are a lot of shortstops in the free agent market this year. So we'll see how their salaries look and what it will open up for Bogaerts if he says, hey, well, Carlos Correa got this much and Corey Seager got this much, and so I want to be extended at something comparative. And, you know, the Red Sox tend to want to go under the market on those situations. We don't know if Chaim Bloom's going to be someone who gives out bigger contracts. I could spend an entire episode talking about Xander Bogaerts and Rafael Devers individually. I'm going to try to move along quickly and just get this done in 20 minutes. But quickly, obviously, they're really important. They'll both be here in 2022. and they have decisions to make coming up after that. Move around the infield. What's at second base? You know, I don't think Christian Arroyo is the long-term answer, and I think people will probably be upset with me for saying that. Listen, good defender, no question. Solid hitter, no question. The guy's been hurt a lot in his career. I think he's got talent. I think he's a really good utility man. And, you know, evidently he could play some short. Maybe he can play some third. He's done it before. You know, maybe he's a really super utility guy who gets 350 at-bats, and if he stays healthy, great. I don't think you pencil him in as an everyday second baseman. That's just me. But because of the way they got him off waivers, he's not going to cost money at least until after the 2022 season, I believe. So they're going to keep him around in some capacity. I don't think he's the starter personally. I think they should be looking around for another second baseman. Jeter Downs had a really bad year in the minors, and I think they really wanted him to be the second baseman of the future. Unfortunately, he was terrible for AAA Worcester this year. He hit 190. He had a 606 OPS. He struck out 130 times in 400 plate appearances, 14 homers. And the reports just weren't good either. I mean, you know, kind of reading what the coaches had to say, listening to what some of the coaches had to say down there, they didn't really like what they saw in Jeter Downs. So maybe it was the thing of, well, first full minor league season, new team, pandemic, all that. Let's see what he does next year. He had a good fall league showing. You know, 7 games, 5 homers. So, you know, that's encouraging for sure. So maybe they'll give him the year again to see what he does in the minors. But you don't know if he's the answer at second base either. That's a big question to me. What are they doing at second base? I think that's something they'll have to look at in the offseason. Now, Kike Hernandez, obviously, they thought he was going to play a lot of second base in 2021, and he didn't because they didn't have a center fielder. Alex Verdugo played a little bit there, but they quickly realized their better alignment was with Kike Hernandez in center field. Played a great center field for them, and with Jaron Duran really struggling this year, listen, I was big time wrong on this guy. I will absolutely admit that. I thought Jaron Duran was going to be a good player. Maybe not a great player, but at least a good player. And I thought they waited too long to call him up. I thought they could have used him earlier in the season and didn't. They call him up, and he's really terrible. There's no other way to say it. 40 strikeouts, 112 plate appearances, 4 walks, 2 homers. He just didn't offer a whole lot. And they think he still has improvement to do on the defensive side. So you don't know what you're going to get at center field. You might have to have Kike Hernandez in center field again next year if Jaron Duran isn't the guy. Or do you just give him a chance to play anyways? I think there's an argument to be made for just giving Jaron Duran a chance to play and see what happens, because he's obviously going to have some growing pains. He's a guy who's going to have a lot of swing and miss, but he's got power. He's got tremendous speed. They still like to think about him as an everyday player in the future. The only way you're going to find out if he's an everyday player is if you make him an everyday player. So that'll be an interesting thing. See what kind of off-season he has. See what he looks like when he comes into camp. See what he looks like in spring training. It's hard to say, I guess. I mean, he had a tremendous spring training last year and not a very good season when he got to the big leagues after crushing the ball in winter league, crushing the ball in spring training, crushing the ball at Worcester, got to the Red Sox, was not very good. So that's in a really interesting debate. What do they do at center field? Does Jaron Duran just get a chance to play, just see what he can do, or do they keep Kike Hernandez in center? That will be something to watch. All right, we're going to keep this going in a second. Let's take a quick ad break. We're brought to you by Spotify Green Room. It is the first social audio platform made for sports fans, free to download. And once you're in, you can talk with other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. So you will have a chance to chat with all the different people on this app. You just got to download it on your phone. That's all you got to do. Make an account, go in there, meet other people. It's cool. I've heard good things about it. I haven't done it myself, but people seem to like it. So Spotify Green Room, download the app today. All right, moving around the infield, I think first base is another really interesting position for the Red Sox next year. So do you sign Kyle Schwarber? That's the question. Like, did you see enough from him at first base to think he can play the position? Now, I think they did. And listen, I know he made some terrible plays, like a drop fly ball. He didn't know what he was doing. You know, the play where he was laughing about it later, where he just had to make a simple flip to first base. And there was the play in the final game when they got eliminated, where he lost sight of the runner at third base, tried to turn a double play. He did turn a double play at first, but a run scored in a 1-run game and made it a 2-run game, which was really a sin in that position, a Gold Glove defender, anyone with experience at first base, is keeping an eye on the runner at third. He's the priority in that situation. The problem, if you look at this, is all the mistakes he's made, for the most part, were because of inexperience. It wasn't because he wasn't physically gifted enough to play first base. He is. He's a former catcher. Usually these guys can play first base. Think about Mike Napoli, how good he was when he went to first base after having a nice career as a catcher at the Texas Rangers, came to the Red Sox, was honestly, I thought, a Gold Glove first baseman at times for them. Really good first baseman. So I actually believe they should re-sign Kyle Schwarber. I just don't know how much it's going to cost. Because of how well he hit in the limited time he was on the field, I think people are going to have questions about his ability to stay healthy and play every day. But if the National League adopts a DH, he's going to have a lot more value. People saw what he did in the postseason. They saw how much the Red Sox lineup changed. The Red Sox are going to want him to stay. I don't think there's any question about it. He changed them for the better. They loved his presence in the clubhouse. They loved what he did at the top of their lineup. There is a huge argument to make to keep Kyle Schwarber around. Is JD Martinez going to opt out? Highly, highly unlikely. Even if the NL does adopt the DH, JD Martinez is coming off of his worst season in a long time. I believe it's his worst season by OPS since he was with the Houston Astros. Remember, they ended up releasing him infamously, I suppose. And then he went to the Detroit Tigers and had a wonderful year. So his 867 OPS this season was his worst since 2013 when he was with the Houston Astros. It's not like he had a terrible year. He led the league with 42 doubles. He hit 28 homers. He had 99 RBIs, 286 average. Very good year at the plate. But is he going to opt out at 34 years old and go get more than $19 million to play for another team next year? Highly unlikely. Highly unlikely. This is a great park for him. It's a great lineup for him to be in as he heads into free agency for another year. I cannot see him opting out. I'm not going to say he won't, guaranteed, but I think it's unlikely. So I don't bring Kyle Schwarber back because he is going to replace JD Martinez. I bring him back because he's going to play first base for 2022. You're going to let Tristan Casas get some more work in Double A and Triple A, because I do think Tristan Casas is going to be a phenomenal player. And I think Casas looks like your first baseman in the future. Now, at the end of the season, maybe it's August and Casas is so good, you got to bring him up. You move guys around, you make room. Maybe JD goes to the outfield again, or Schwarber moves around, or you figure that out. But Casas probably needs a little bit more time, and I think Schwarber can play the position just fine. I really do. I think he's athletic enough to handle first base. He showed that. He just is not experienced there and is going to make some mistakes until he learns the position. But I like the idea of bringing him back. What's it going to cost? I'll have to do the research on that. Maybe that'll be a whole other episode where I sit down and kind of go over what guys like him make, what you should spend on him, how much he's worth, because I think he's a perfect fit for this team. Now, what does that mean for Bobby Dalbec? No surprise here to people who have listened or read any of my work. I don't think Bobby Dalbec's going to be a superstar. I think he's a perfectly fine player. I think there's a lot of players like him in the big leagues right now, guys who are just really good at hitting the ball really hard, but also have a lot of swing and miss, don't make a lot of contact, and you're going to end up with a guy who ideally hits 30 to 40 homers. Yeah, he's going to hit 240, strike out 200 times, but those Mark Reynolds types that were maybe a little bit more rare in the past seem to be pretty common in today's game. The question is, where's the game going? And we see it even in the World Series. I mean, the Houston Astros won Game 2 of the World Series by making a lot of contact. And we saw in the Red Sox, like, what happened when they stopped making contact. They had 10 hits in their final three games in the playoffs. So I think teams are going to start looking again at contact. And we'll see what happens, especially if there's some kind of rules on the shift in this new CBA. Teams are really going to want some contact hitters. Guys who are just hitting the ball in the air might not be as important as they were even last year or even this year. So I don't know that Bobby Dalbec's a player of the future if the game continues to change back to the way it was played 7 years ago, where contact was important. Then we went to power. Doesn't matter if you strike out. Well, now maybe we're going back the other way again. So I don't know that Bobby Dalbec is going to be an all-star in the big leagues. Perfectly fine player, no question. If you have to start him at first, if you can't re-sign Schwarber, Dalbec's your guy. Hey, let's see what he got. Let's see if he can be more than like a Jackie Bradley Jr. who just gets a little bit hot in August. Not a little bit hot, really hot. I mean, he was the player of the month in August. But other than that, was he a good player this year? No, he wasn't. So I don't think Bobby Dalbec is the answer. If you end up with him, you know, you could live with it. Do you trade him? That's another question to think about. Behind the plate, Christian Vasquez had a terrible year, but is this guy, are you going to turn down a $7 million option on Christian Vasquez? I don't think so. I mean, the guy's known to be a tremendous player. I think he was actually bad in every facet of the game this year, but traditionally a great, great defender at throwing base runners out. Actually, okay, so he threw out 31% of base runners. That's his average over his career. That's good. That's a good number. There's nothing wrong with that number. And also, I think more than ever right now, base dealers, it's on the pitcher more than the catcher, almost always. I mean, you see catchers who can make great throws or getting guys out, but it's on the pitcher more than ever right now. So I don't think he had a good year. We saw what he could do in the playoffs a little bit. He had some big hits and at the end of the season. But we know he's better than he was this year. He's 31 years old. He ran a pitching staff really well. I mean, you look at how the Red Sox pitching staff overperformed this year. I think Christian Vasquez deserves a lot of credit for that. His focus was on the pitcher. He had 500 plate appearances. Not a lot of catchers who do that. This is a guy you keep. $7 million, you pick up the option. He's your catcher again next year. Kevin Plawecki's your backup again. He's under arbitration. You can keep him for another year. So I think you feel pretty good about your catching tandem. We're going to finish this up with the outfielders. Let's just take another quick ad break, and we'll finish it up. We are brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar has so many delicious flavors. You hear me talk about it all the time, but the reason why I like Built Bars the most, not a lot of sugar, and I am eating way too much sugar and trying to cut back. So you only have 4 to 5 grams of sugar in a protein bar. You will not find a protein bar with less sugar than that. 18 grams of protein, not too much on your stomach. It's a light snack just to get some energy. I highly recommend it. Go to built.com today and get 15% off with the promo code LOCKED15. So it's built.com. Get 15% off with promo code LOCKED15, and you can even get one of the mix boxes. So check it out. We're brought to you by betonline.ag. Never has there been so much to bet on. October's the best month for sports. You've got all four major sports going on. You got MLS going on. BetOnline is your number one spot for all the action this season. So they've updated their desktop and mobile website, so you got to check it out. If you download it on your phone or go online, and make sure you use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus for betonline.ag. You will get a 50% welcome bonus. So go to betonline.ag, 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. All right, let's finish this up real quick with the outfielders. I don't think Alex Verdugo had his best year this year either. This is a guy who had to learn how to play a 160-game season, or 162-game season, who had never done that before, who had largely been a platoon guy in Los Angeles and just hadn't really been given a shot. And we know how good he was last year in the short season. He broke down a little bit. His body couldn't handle it. He did not hit lefties very well, but he's obviously part of your future. He's either your everyday left fielder or your everyday right fielder. I don't think there's any question about that. We talked about center field with Kike, maybe Jaron Duran. You want to figure out what you're doing with Jaron Duran before you make a decision on where Kike is going to play. Because, you know, I think we saw it with Kike too. If he's not playing second every day, he struggled a little bit. So I think it'll be important for them to figure out a position early and kind of just keep Kike at that position. So the really interesting one is Hunter Renfroe, right? I mean, the Rays DFA'd him last year because they didn't want to pay him salary arbitration. Well, he's arbitration eligible for a third time, so the Red Sox can keep him. And I believe he's arbitration eligible as a Super 2 player a fourth time, so I think they have him for 2 more years under contract. That means he will make a lot of money, though. I think they'll probably just say, we'll take him anyways. I don't know what they're going to have to pay him. I'm guessing it's going to be at least $10 million. Third-time eligible player who just hit 30 homers and drove in 100 runs. He's probably going to cost some money. Is he worth it, and do you have anyone else to replace him? No, yes, he is worth it, and no, you don't. So unless you have like a guy that you really want in the free agent market or really want via trade that you think is going to make your lineup a lot better than bringing back Hunter Renfroe for $10, $12 million, whatever it's going to cost, I really don't know. MLB Trade Rumors does a great job with arbitration estimates, and once they get those out at the end of the year, we will check back with those. But I think you're probably bringing Hunter Renfroe back because he was phenomenal for you this year. There's no question. Is he going to be that good again going forward? I don't know. You know, he's never had a season like that before. But I think you absolutely bring him back. So that's what you're looking at for the Red Sox offense. I think it's going to be a very similar team as it was last year. I don't think they're going to make huge changes, especially if they are able to re-sign Schwarber and play him at first base. The question is, what do they do at second and center field? That will be the big question. And if they're able to lock up Rafael Devers and possibly renegotiate Xander Bogaerts' contract. That's the quick version of the Red Sox offense. We will do more on this for sure throughout the postseason. So thanks so much for listening. Check back tomorrow. I'll go through the pitchers and we'll do the same thing with the pitchers. Please follow me on Twitter at JMasterDonato or the Locked On Red Sox account, LO_Red Sox, and have a wonderful day. Thanks for making the Locked On Red Sox podcast your first listen every day. For your next listen, check on the Locked On MLB Prospects podcast. Your host, Aram Layton, is a prospect encyclopedia and will go deep on all the MLB stars of tomorrow. Check it out today.